I like it. Have you noticed that it messes with your mood? It kind of just brings everything down a little bit. And, you know, getting up in the morning is, you see it's cold outside, especially if there's frost. And you're saying, man, I don't know if I want to get out there or not. And it does affect the mood. But it's a neat little time. I'm a firm believer in the fact that when God made us, when it comes wintertime, I think He made our bodies to kind of kick back into a little bit of a reserve mode and to rest. And I think that's what we feel in the winter when it gets cold. And then summertime, it's like we have a new energy. And the sad thing about life and how it speeds up is that we blow right past those natural tendencies. And we just plow right through it and we go until we drop. And then we'll be out for a while. My mom used to do that. She'd go, and then she'd go down about 3 days. She'd be out of commission for about 3 days and she'd have to renew her energy. I remember that. And I think we do that a lot. Orgelina, welcome. Thank you for picking Miss Orgelina up. We had to do some rearranging. The folks that she normally rides with to church, they're out sick, and so thankfully our bus ministry was able to swing back by her house and pick her up and bring her here. And just pray for her. She don't know English very well, but she does pick up a little bit. She picks up a little bit. She's here early. Normally our Spanish service is in this room at 11 o'clock. So for those of us that we all gravitate towards the auditorium, and then we do our singing and everything, and then I'll slip out right now. I've been slipping out. You see, it's not because I don't like Pastor Herdman's preaching, but I'll slip out and come into here, and I'll preach in Spanish till 12. So we have a lot of fun in here, don't we? We have a good time. Well, this morning we need to be in prayer for Brother Mark. The reason he's not here, he's had some sickness in his family last couple weeks, and then once again this week, he had another one that was not feeling well, and he's maintaining his distance for our safety and security. And for that, we thank him. Amen? And normally we wouldn't say that, but in these times, it's crazy, and so we're very grateful for him doing that, but we do miss him, and let's keep his family in prayer, if you would. An update on our missionary Paul Deku. He is doing some better. His oxygen levels are improving. So those of us that have been praying for him, thank you for your prayer. We'll continue to pray for him. Also be in prayer for Joe and Joanne Horn. I've spoken to them this week. Pastor and I just stopped by the house and waved at a distance and just pray for them and pray that they can recuperate real fast and be back with us soon. We're grateful for to see Brother Jerry and Miss Beverly Lovegrove. They're back. Where did Brother Jerry go? I saw him. There he is. Okay. Could you give us a real brief update on how things went and how many were saved and all that, if you would? Just, I know you weren't expecting that, but just shout it out. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they're very involved in disaster relief. And so they took off, went down to Louisiana. And they were telling me while they were there, sometimes it's hard to be in that every day because you see the devastation. And it's hard to keep your spirits up because, and you're supposed to be the one there to encourage and be the one to lift their spirits. And so it is a great work that they do and that they're involved in, and not just there, but they go all over the place. And we're thankful that they're back and that they're back safe. So thank you for that and for the salvations. Amen. I mean, you go down there to help them with disaster and you give them the best thing that they could ever have. Yes, sir.
We got word from Melissa Walker last night that her grandmother is close to death.
Okay, pray for Melissa Walker and her family. Her grandma is close to death, so we need to pray. We have a praise also. A new granddaughter was born on 11/15 to the Balls, and so let's pray for them and thank the Lord for that. Jim Edmondson is very sick in the hospital, and we'll continue to pray for him. We mentioned Mark Randolph with the mobility in his knee, and then also his family. Also, we need to pray for Foster. Foster, wave your hand at me. Wave. That's Foster. Foster has been very faithful for many years here, and God has used him, and he's an encouragement to me. Let's pray for him. On the 9th of December, he leaves Johnson City, and he's going to head up to New York and hop on a plane, and he's going to go home to see his beloved wife and his three daughters. His wife's name is Weedor S. Khan, and then he has three daughters, Amelia, she's 13, Joanna is 12, and then Nancy is 10. And he is missing them something awful. Pray for that. Pray he'll be gone for about 6 weeks, and so pray that the Lord will protect him. He's working on his residency. He has his documents here. He's had those in place for some time. He's working on the next level. But for those of you that know anything about that kind of a thing, right now it is taking years for stuff to move along in order for them. He's trying to do it the right way, and he's done it the right way. And he wants to bring his family here to be with him. He misses them something awful. And he knows what every guy knows. We don't do well without our wife. Amen? And so let's pray for Foster and pray that God will be with him, protect him, and that he would work this paperwork situation out for him to be able to bring his family here soon. He's a hard worker. He gets after it, and he stays after it. So he's done a good job with that. So thank the Lord for Foster. Anyone else before we pray? Pray for Miss Julia. That's right. Miss Julia is not feeling well this morning. And let's pray for her. I'm so sorry. Oh, yes, we will. We definitely will. And if you can, get with Brother Larry afterwards and add that to our prayer list back there on the table so we can add that to the email that goes out to the class, okay? Put her name down. We'll pray for that. What is her name?
Charlotte.
Okay. Okay, we'll pray for her. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay, yes. Okay. All right. Do we have him on the list? Okay. If you don't mind, get with Brother Larry afterwards and add that to that list. That helps us because we'll send that out to everybody. And I believe in prayer. Amen. We've been talking about it. I believe in it. God answers prayer. He does that. And even when he doesn't answer the immediate prayer that we have, what he does based on Philippians is he gives us his peace. He takes his peace and he says, here you go. And he gives it to us. And it helps us work through these things that happen in life. We're not exempt. Just because we're saved and born again, we're not exempt from life happening and different things and sicknesses and illnesses and flat tires and car accidents and mechanic problems, you know. Thank the Lord we have our in-house mechanic with us. If you need your car fixed, I'll put in a plug. Brother Joey, he never asked me to do this, but I'm a firm believer in knowing the man and knowing that he's an honest, Bible-believing Christian, amen? And he's not going to rip you off. Boy, that did turn into a plug, didn't it? But no, I really appreciate that. I value that. Because for those of us that aren't real savvy when it comes to fixing cars, you're at someone's mercy. I mean, you know the feeling. They walk in and they start shaking their head. Oh. And you're going, oh, no. You can just see the dollar signs, you know. But he'll treat you right. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this class. Lord, thank you that we can come aside once a week and we gather together with friends and family in Christ of like faith. And Lord, we can lift our hearts to you. And even when we don't know exactly what to say, there's some situations in the room that were mentioned as a prayer request this morning, and you can tell when the prayer request was made, the heart hurts. Holy Spirit of God, we know based on what we've studied in your word that you carry those prayers, even when we don't know what to say. You carry that. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you're not only a God who is supreme and over all, but yet you're very approachable. And not only that, but you can relate to each and every one of our situations because you felt what we feel. You did that when you sent your son to this earth. And he was born as we're born. He lived as we live. And yet he did it without sin. And so we thank you for that and for the fact that you can relate to how we feel. Lord, we want to praise you this morning. We want to thank you for everything that you've done. We want to thank you for those that you have healed and that are getting better. And we want to, Lord, we just want to take all these prayer requests that have been mentioned this morning, Lord, and we want to place them in your hands. And Lord, we trust you. We ask that thy will be done, not ours. We would prefer that your will be done because we know that your will is best in our life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty, this morning we need to finish up our lesson on prayer. Our lesson on prayer. Last week, we were looking at the necessary ingredients or elements of prayer. And we looked at the prayer in Scripture that many know as the Lord's Prayer. And we talked about how that wasn't necessarily something that Christ presented, that's something that we have to repeat multiple times. But in fact, when they were asking him how to pray, he prayed that prayer to show us the elements of prayer and what it includes. We saw how that it includes words of adoration and praise. It includes confession of our faults. It also, we found that sometimes it's meditation as we're praying. And so those are some necessary things that we talked about in prayer. We talked about last week how that God doesn't always answer our prayers like we want. It's not always like we want it, nor in the time or manner that we want it. It's always in His time. But we know that He knows what timing is best. He also knows what answer is best in our life. So He doesn't always do it as we desire. Let me finish this morning with the what, when, where, and how of prayer. We talked briefly about it, but prayer is simply talking with God. We talked last week about how that many times we have, and when I say formalized, we've professionalized prayer. And we've made it such that it's something that we do. It can sometimes get misconstrued into a box in our life that we check, and we want to make sure that we get that accomplished every day. You know, if we don't pray every day, well, what kind of Christian doesn't pray every day? And so, you know, we got to check that box, and so we have that time, which is not a bad thing to have a time of prayer, but sometimes we get caught in the trap of prayer being something that we do to check off our list instead of it being what God wants it to be. He literally wants that relationship with us. It is communion with Him. It's a relationship. It's getting along. Listen, I've found, and I'm still learning, trust me, I by no means claim to have achieved being a good husband, okay? Don't ever misconstrue that. I've got a long way to go. And the more years I am married, the more I realize I need help. And my wife makes sure that I know that. No, I'm just teasing. She doesn't. But a lot of times, if we were to treat prayer, or if we were to treat our marriage like we treat prayer, I think we would be in a world of hurt today. Because if we came to our spouse and we just, you know, blah, 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 amen, and walked off, our spouse would be looking at us like, what? Who do you think you are? And who do you think I am? And so prayer is just simply talking with God and getting along with God, and we can talk with Him anytime we want. That's the beauty of prayer. Prayer does not have to be something where you gather together. Number one, it doesn't only have to take place here. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's part of what we do. It's commanded, so we do it. But it doesn't only have to be here. It can happen anytime. And what a joy and comfort to know that. Our Lord is as close as the mention of His name. Let's look at Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, or Psalm number 5. The psalmist said, now, once again, I am reminded, every time I read the psalmist, my brain goes here. He was not a model citizen all the time. Would you agree with me on that? He's got a rap sheet. And in spite of that, God decides that of all the things that He can include in His Word, He's going to include some thoughts that this guy that had a rap sheet had, and some of the prayers that he prayed. Now, how's that for a thought? Some of the prayers that he prayed, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 60, he prays for favor. In Psalm 51, he prays for repentance. In Psalm 43, he prays for help in trouble. In Psalm 57, he prays for safety from his enemies. In 86, he prays for mercy. In 39, he prays for wisdom and forgiveness. I mean, he has been through every emotion. He's been through every up and down that one could possibly imagine in his life. And a lot of it was his own fault. And yet, God decides to include that. But He says in Psalm 5 and verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." And will look up. I think when at the end of David's life, because of those ups and downs, because of his failures, and because mostly of him experiencing how God responded to him in his failure, and the mercy and the grace that God extended to him, I think he developed quite a communion with God. I really do. And I believe that there's something that we can learn from that. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Yet, in that imperfection, we see a fellowship, we see a relationship with an almighty God. And so prayer is something that at the mention of His name, you can do it in the morning as you wake. You can do it during the day as you work. You can do it when you're resting, when you're eating. It makes no matter what day or time of day. God's people can always approach the Lord in prayer. Psalm 55, verse 7, the Bible says this. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness? Then in 17 he says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And then I love that verse because at the end it says, and He shall hear my voice. How many times have our children offended us? Ignored something we said? Blew us off? And we knew that they knew that they did that. And yet, if they were to call, what do we do? Oh, I got to get this. Yes. Can I help? I'm so sorry. I'm hurt. I need you to come. I'm in the ditch, you know. I told you not to look away when you're driving. Right? You know better than that as you're swirling through the mountains at breakneck speed. But what do? We panic. We freak out. We want to do everything that we can to come to their aid. Why? Because they're our kids. And by cracky, don't anybody say anything against them either. That's how God treats us. He loves us. He wants us. We can pray to God from anywhere. We don't have to be at church to fellowship with Him. It's a good thing. But we don't have to be there in order to pray. We can pray privately. Beyond our own personal desires and needs, there's so many things that the Bible encourages us to pray about. Number one, Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at that. One of those things is the return of Christ. Matthew chapter 6. One thing we need to keep in mind as we're reading through the Gospels, here in Matthew chapter 6, who is Christ talking to primarily? Can anybody help me with that? Who is Christ addressing? Jews or Gentiles here? He's speaking to the Jews, right, in Matthew. And also, this is, Matthew is still Old Covenant, right? So we're still, he still has not died on the cross for sin. The veil has not been rent in the temple yet. Yeah, he's present on earth, but this is still Old Covenant. So as you're reading through that, this is just a side note. Keep in mind some of the things that we see here. But in here he talks about in verse 9 of chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now he's talking in there, thy kingdom come. It's interesting that Christ would include that in that prayer. He's asking for his kingdom to come. And that is something that we need to be excited about. I honestly, the more I see in this world, the more silliness and, for lack of a better word, or for lack of not wanting to use a better word, dumbness that exists today, and some of the foolish things that we're doing as a society. I can't wait till he gets here. I really can't, and sets up his kingdom. It's about time. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, at the same time, I'm overcome with an urgency. So it's okay to pray that way. Lord, man, I can't wait till you get here. It's just like a kid waiting for his mom and dad to come home. And man, I can't wait till you get here. The holidays are coming up, and many of you will be traveling, but some of you will be staying home, and they will be traveling to you. And you can't wait till they get there. You are doing everything that you can to get ready and make preparations, and you can't wait to have everybody home. That's something to look forward to. So the return of Christ, the will of God to be done, we see that in this prayer. Daily provisions, forgiveness, guidance, victory over temptation and sin. These are all things that he's illustrating in this prayer. And those are things that we can include in prayer and something that we can go to God with. Remember, he is very approachable. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we as humans, when we hold someone in high esteem, sometimes we're like, hey, look at there, so-and-so. Ooh, yeah. I wonder if he'll give me his signature, you know. And you know, we do crazy things like that. And I think sometimes we hold God. You say, well, God is that. You're right. He is that. But he's also very approachable. Why would the God of the universe send his only son to pay for my stinking rotten sins? Think about that. He did that because he wants that relationship with me. And so I accept that. Just like I accepted the gift of eternal life, I accept the fact that he wants to have that relationship with me. And I want to dwell there. I want to be there. I want him to talk with me. And I want to talk to him. And I want that relationship. I need that. I need that. I need his wisdom. I can't make these decisions on my own. I can't live this life on my own. I cannot be who I need to be on my own. I need him. And so prayer is one way through which I can do that and enhance that relationship. So we pray for the return of Christ and the will of God to be done and all those things. Number two, we should pray for the healing of the sick. James chapter 5. That's why we have a prayer request sheet. That's why it's very important. James chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible talks about confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. You say, well, and a lot of times we don't like to touch that first part of that verse. No one in this room wants to confess their faults to somebody else. Hey, I blew it the other day. I did this. No, we don't like to do that. We don't want anybody to know that. But when you confess your faults one to another, that holds your feet to the fire and gives you accountability. That's what the Bible's talking about there. And that's uncomfortable. But sometimes it's necessary. When you know that when we're going to seek help for some things and items in our lives, sometimes that will be the recommended course of action is to let somebody know and then let them hold your feet to the fire about it and let them call you frequently and ask you, hey, how's it going in this item that you shared with me the other day? You know? And sometimes we do that with the preacher. We say, hey, preacher, I need you to pray about this. I don't want you to tell anybody about it, but I need you to pray about this. And thankfully, the preacher will do that and he'll not blab it. But he'll just talk to God about it and help you with it. And occasionally he'll say, hey, how's it going with that thing that you and I talked about? Wink, wink. You know. And so confessing your faults, it's good. But, and pray one for another, that ye may be what? Uh-oh. That ye may be what? Healed. Healed. Sometimes that's necessary. And I'll just leave that there. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent, but then key word, righteous. A righteous man will confess faults so that he can be healed. So, very important. We also should pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at that real quick. This one's a hard one, especially right now. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm not talking about local authority here in the church. I'm talking about a little further beyond that. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. That's a tough pill to swallow. But God says that's what we need to do, so we need to do it. And why wouldn't we? We want them to do better, don't we? We want them to stop the nonsense, don't we? So then why would we not pray for them? Because we know prayer works. So for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's okay. It's okay to pray for that. And it's okay to live like that too. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. I want these heathen to be saved. Especially when these heathen are making decisions that affect my life. I want them to be seeking God for approval and for wisdom and for guidance. So we need to pray. Pray for those that are in authority. Ephesians 6:18 says that we should pray for other believers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for whom? For which ones? All saints. Even the ones that rub me the wrong way. All saints. You say, oh, Brother Dan, do you have people that rub you the wrong way? Am I human? Do I have blood flowing through my veins? Yes. Am I one of those people? I pray not. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. But you know how sometimes, you know, somebody will be different and it just, it's not our preference. And so, you know, yeah, we need to pray for them too. We get a lot of prayer that way. Is that why you do what you do, Brother Leroy? He's a smart man. I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with him because he knows that we love him. Right? Amen. So we pray for others. 1 Kings, I won't look there, but we should pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Hebrews chapter 13 says we should remember to pray for those who pastor, preach, and teach God's word, is what Hebrews say. Even though we can pray anytime, anywhere. Now, the Bible does talk about different specific positions to pray in. If you read your Bible, you'll see that there's bowing, there's standing, and there's lying prostrate. I knew a pastor, still alive. He's in North Carolina, Monroe, North Carolina, one of the godliest men I know. I had the privilege one time we were visiting, and we went with them on Saturday night. They prayed before for the services, the men of the church. And they would go into the auditorium, and they never even turned the lights on. It freaked me out a little bit. I was a kid, when my eyes adjusted to the lighting in there, it was really dark, but when my eyes adjusted, I saw the preacher flat on his face, had his hands extended, and he was just bawling and crying and talking to God. He got it done. God heard him. And so there's different ways that you... Now, just because he does that doesn't mean that you need to do that. Just because you don't do that doesn't mean that he doesn't need to do that. Sometimes folks will just quietly bow their head where they're at. I've seen some folks kneel before, and that's okay. Some folks will come to the altar to pray in a public manner. That's okay. Some people don't. That's okay. It's between you and God. It's not about you, and it's not about us. It's okay. Some people, I've seen somebody stand in the middle of the service, close their eyes. They get overwhelmed with something, and the message will be going on, and something hits them. The Holy Spirit touches their heart about something. Or sometimes I've seen folks get an answer to prayer while they're sitting in a message, and they'll just stand and they'll just quietly, and they're standing in reverence. They're not standing for attention. In fact, they don't even know what's going on around them. And they'll just stand, and they're not seeking attention or anything like that. And they're just thanking God for it. And then they'll quietly sit down and go about their business. That's okay. That's okay. We need to remember this. Whatever position we choose, however it hits us, whatever time of the day, we just need to pray. Isn't this something, how that God has given that? Now, real quick, with the time that I have left, there's a couple illustrations of prayer. I want us to look at Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's just a privilege to be able to pray. Now, something happens here in 1 Samuel. And when we get to heaven, of course, we'll know everything by then, because God's going to give us a new body. So I'm looking forward to that time. But in 1 Samuel, there's a situation here that most of us know about. You've got a guy with two wives. I do not recommend that. Just in case anybody wondered. I do all I can to keep up with the one. And why would anybody want to, for starters? But this is what happened in this culture at this time. When we get to heaven, we'll know why. But I do find it very interesting how that God chooses a prophet from one of these wives. Is that not interesting? And he uses that little guy who became a man, who became a prophet, by the name of Samuel. Is that not interesting? And it's very interesting to see Hannah's prayer. Now, when she first goes to the temple and pray, and that's in here, and we won't take time to read it all, but it's very interesting that you see some of the dynamic of what was going on in that household. Now, you have to kind of understand when you're looking at chapter 2 and verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, now this is after God answers her prayer, right? And it's kind of a prophetic prayer that she's praying. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. And she had enemies, specifically that other gal. That was one of her enemies. She kept rubbing it in, the fact that she had, I have seven kids. What about you? You know? And to any woman sitting in here, that is a dig and a slap in the face. So she says, because I rejoice in thy salvation, for there's none holy as the Lord, there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more. I mean, she's getting after it here as she's praying. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. You know what she's talking about here. Let not your arrogancy come out of your mouth. She might as well put the gal's name right beside it, right here. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled and girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and or that means they had to go get a job, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven. We know she was talking about that because she included that little piece in there. We know what it was about. So you have that prayer. That was illustrated in Scripture. God thought it interesting enough to put it in His Word so that we can glean from it. And so this gal's pouring her heart out to God. You have the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10. You can read that sometime. Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah was bargaining with God. He wanted to live. He didn't want to die. And because of his heart change, God gives him another 15 years. God told him how much longer he was going to live. And to the day, he lived that length of time. But he was clamoring and asking God. So, I mean, here you have different examples of prayer and how they present. And it's okay. I guess what I'm trying to convey this morning is, there's going to be all kinds of types of praying going on in our lives. And some of it's desperate. Some of it's, let's just be straight up, a little bit of an in anger. I don't know why, you know. You say, well, you talk to God that way? He knows it's in my heart already. You might as well blurt it out. Right? And you see, sometimes you see frustration in prayer in Scripture illustrated. You've got Jonah's prayer. Jonah, I love Jonah. Jonah's like the guy, you know, he's praying in the belly of the whale, right? It's like the guy that you got his hand up here and you're going, give, you know? And he's like, hey, okay, I'm good. Hey, that vow that I made to you, listen, you let me out of here, I'm going to take care of it. That's Jonah's prayer. You got to read between the lines a little bit when you're reading it. But, I mean, he's a desperate man. And you say, well, I would be too. I agree with you. I would be too if I'm sitting in the belly of a fish. And so it's very interesting. And then the last prayer I want us to see, and this is one that Christ illustrates. And he illustrates it for a reason in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and 9. We know it. I love verse 9. We don't concentrate a lot on 9, but it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now, check out what he said. He spoke the parable unto a certain group, and this group is a group of people that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And they despised others because of it. It says it right here. How many times have we slipped into that attitude? God's been good to us. We grew up in a Christian family. We haven't experienced a lot of heartache and grief like many. And if we're not careful, we can become part of this group. And so two men up went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, he wasn't talking necessarily to God, or I don't know that God was listening, because the Bible does say here that he prayed to himself. He was so good that he can talk to himself. I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And just, he lays out the list. I do all this. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, he says, Christ is speaking, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. When we go to God, as long as we're going into Him with the right attitude, we know who we are before Him. He wants to have that relationship with us. We go with the right heart and the right attitude. He will hear our prayer. He heard our prayer this morning about your mom. He heard our prayer and He knows how you feel. He knows that. He knows how that you don't want that for your mom. He knows that. He heard it. He heard the prayer about the one with cancer, your son-in-law. He heard that prayer. He knows how desperate it feels not to be able to know what's going to happen. He knows that. So prayer is that relationship. Prayer is that sharing of life. And really, He allows us to bring Him in and be part of it. I love it. Let's be people of prayer. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. God bless you.